Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird.
Your bill, sir.
Thank you.
Martin, I seem to have left my wallet at home.
Oh, my dear chap, this one's on Prentice McCabe. I'll put you down as client entertaining. Not that you've actually been very entertaining, of course.
No, I'm sorry about that.
In fact, I've had more fun being stuck in a lift with a manic depressive on his way to the dentist.
Yes, sorry.
Look, don't be embarrassed, but would 50 quid help?
Martin, I haven't come here to beg.
Oh, sorry. It was the way you sang, Buddy, Can You Spare a Dime, in the middle of Oxford Street that did it.
Only, I admit, things aren't going too well at the moment.
Where did it all go wrong? You were always the one who was going to be a genius. The rest of us were going to do boring things like getting rich.
My last two novels have both flopped. I can't even find a publisher for my latest one.
I'm sure I saw one of your books in a shop once. Now, where was it? Oh, I remember. Dr. Bernardo's charity shop. Under a sign saying, as much as you can carry for a pound. I wonder if there's anything my partner and I could do to help.
A novelist?
But a very good one, Charles. 10 years ago, he was the coming English man of letters.
And he came on the Northern Line and terminated at Kennington.
Do you know what the Times Literary Supplement said about his first book? Listen. With ruthless surgical precision, he rips at the reader's consciousness. The relentless brilliance of his prose performs a Keith Moon drum solo on the open wound of our emotions.
What about his second novel?
He speaks to the pain of humankind like Janis Joplin. Every line wails like the guitar of Eric Clapton.
And remind me what they said about his third.
This writer is like the incompetent player of a malfunctioning trumpet. First he sucked and now he's blown it. Well... Reviews aren't everything, Charles.
On the contrary, Martin. Have you seen the latest issue of Campaign? In the rarefied, specialised world of government media relations, one name stands out from the crowd, Prentice McCabe. Other agencies trail in their wake.
Well, we are doing quite well.
We are doing very well. The aura of success, Martin. Does your scribbling friend have the aura of success?
Well, no. More the slightly peculiar pong of a man who's confused wasp killer with body spray.
Quite so.
The Minister of State for Trade and Industry is on the line for you.
Thank you, Sandy. Clive, dear boy. No, all sorted. Nothing to worry about. Well, we all get our picture on the front of the Sun from time to time. I've already issued the press release. The line is, yes, it was me, but at least I was wearing British boxer shorts. It might have been a scandal. Now it's bonking minister boosts British textile industry. They'll eat it. All part of the Prentice McCabe service, my dear, dear Clive. You see, Martin, rising politician, rising with the Sun, and it's all in a day's work for the Prentice McCabe organisation.
Think of it as an exercise in image relaunch, Charles. Think of it as a challenge.
Keeping Prentice McCabe at the top is challenge enough, Martin.
Would you do it for a bet?
You know my attitude to betting. You want to bet, you be the punter, I'll be the bookmaker. It's a philosophy that served me rather well.
I'll bet you the whole of my bonus that you cannot relaunch the literary career of Ralph Parsons to the top of the bestsellers, of course.
Top of the bestsellers?
My bonus says it can't be done.
To put some scrofulous saddo on the front of Hello. Oh, Martin, what a wheeze.
He received an advance of $500,000. Now his book is sure to top the bestsellers. Ooligan by Rick Dennis has been variously described as the Bible of Yobbo culture and the most important novel written in English in the last 20 years. Rick Dennis, you've been called the Tracy Emin of the English novel. How do you respond to that?
I think, if I may, I'd like to ignore that question, because it's too stupid to merit the dignity of an answer.
Certainly, and can I say how sorry I am for having asked it?
Yes.
Your book tells... Your book tells of an ordinary, outwardly respectable man who suddenly discovers the joy of football hooliganism at the age of 46. On one level, the book is extremely, even nauseatingly violent.
Only epiphenomenally.
Epiphenomenally is a word chosen with perfection, if I may say so. Now, the book contains a cornucopia of the vilest expletives. Indeed, chapters 5 and 6 are written entirely in expletives, and the book is shot through with deviant and bestial sex. The novel could it not be read in that way?
Only by a lobotomized cretin.
Of course. How do you feel it should be read exactly? Would it be fair to say that what appears to be a hymn to Yobbo culture is in fact a vicious satire on society's failure to give proper respect to the intellectual? Do you feel like answering that question at all? I don't want to cut into your spare time.
Look, what I'm saying is, in the core of our phenomenality, the specifically English, and that is important.
Of course.
The specifically English core of our phenomenality, our anti-intellectuality, is a reality.
Martin, it may be a sad reflection on my limited vocabulary, but at the moment my head is full of the word pillock.
Yes. Mine was opting for posy posturing prat.
Well, shall we settle on posy posturing pillocky prat? It wouldn't distress you, would it, if in the course of winning our little wager, I were to take that pompous, portentous...
pillocky prat.
..and screw his testicles to a cake stand?
I think it might attract bonus points, actually, Charles.
After all, if our boy is to be the number one bestseller, then that obnoxious specimen isn't. Do you ever see anyone more deserving of a bucket of vintage Prentice McCabe filth?
And we do rather specialise in filth.
We major in muck. Oh, I'm going to enjoy this. My paws and whiskers, I am going to enjoy this.
This is Mr. Parsons.
Oh, God.
It's very good of you to see me.
Yes. Yes, it really is. Do, put a dust cover on that chair and sit on it. Oh, no. Mr. Parsons, the good news is that I've dipped a tentative toe in the outline of your new novel, and it has real, genuine promise.
You think so?
Oh, yes. It has the makings of a comic masterpiece.
Comic?
Now, where have I put it?
It's here, Charles.
Ah, yes. Sad Sausage, a novel by Ralph Parsons.
An arresting title.
A criminal offence of a title. Sad Sausage tells the story of a once prosperous and happy man and his descent into poverty, misery and a bedsit in Acton.
I love the bedsit in Acton.
He is reduced to pawning his landlord's furniture in order to buy the rope with which to hang himself.
The suicide scene.
Oh, God, the suicide scene. It's hysterical.
It's autobiographical.
Martin, a word. Martin, are you seriously expecting me to turn that into a multimedia megastar?
You accepted the bet.
But that was before I saw the full extent of the damage.
Mr. Prentice?
Not now, Sandy.
Sorry, but does he get the good coffee?
Of course he doesn't get the good coffee. Give him half a spoon of Nescafe and the oldest milk in the fridge.
If you're not up to it...
Well, of course I'm up to it. Right, all right, right, yes. Never knowingly outwheezed. Well, now, Parsons.
Call me Ralph.
No, Parsons. Prentice McCabe is going at considerable expense to relaunch your literary career, to put you back on the map.
If you think it can be done.
I'm going to start by issuing a press release fiercely denying rumours of your steamy affair with pouting Swedish tennis star Anna Gustafsson.
But I've never heard of Anna Gustafsson.
That's why I'm denying the rumours. Now, tell me, what do you think of Rick Dennis?
Oh, the man's a charlatan.
Exactly.
An overpraised, overpaid fraud.
Good, good. You know, when I hear you say that, it makes me realise the sun can shine in the most improbable places. I'm glad you feel like that, because I want you to hit him.
Hit him?
Hit him, Charles. The salad of strawberry and feta cheese, please, and the chicken.
Certainly, sir.
Smoked salmon and the confit of duck, I think.
And for you, sir?
I'll have...
an omelette.
Oh.
And a bottle of Saint Emilion.
Of course.
And a glass of Vimto for that.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Parsons, at this precise moment, Rick Dennis is being given lunch at the Ivy to discuss film rights. Does that hurt? Hmm? Does it burn you up?
Oh, well, to tell you the truth, I'm not that concerned about being a megastar. The point of being a novelist is to be true to yourself.
Well, in your case, that would be a very bad career option. You're with Prentice McCabe now. You're playing at the big table.
With a small omelette. Charles, what is this idea about hitting Rick Dennis?
Martin, what does any ailing literary career need to revive it? A feud. A full-blown literary feud. A blazing, deeply personal row all over the broadsheets, the tabloids, the chat shows, the book programmes. Massive publicity. All of it free. Gore Vidal and Norman Mailer, Julie Burchill and more or less everybody.
I follow the reasoning, Charles, but actual physical violence?
I abhor violence.
Nonsense! I can think of no better way of starting a feud than going to a literary evening at Foyle's, walking up to the celebrity guest and bopping him on the schnoz for no apparent reason. Feud factor high.
Well, I suppose so. It does seem to me to have inbuilt disaster potential.
Now, Parsons, I want you angry. Very angry. You're so angry you're going to send back the Vimto and say that it's corked. Gail, always a pleasure.
In your case, it was always such a brief pleasure, I seem to remember.
Yesterday, when we were young.
Here is an autograph hunter.
By no means. May I introduce you to Ralph Parsons?
Pleased to meet you.
Delighted. Charles, if you'll excuse me.
Of course. You here, presumably, as London's leading professional party-goer.
I'm here because I handle the personal PR for Rick Dennis.
Do you? Do you really? How very appetizing. Dog's bollocks followed by tart. Ralph, now! Now! Okay!
I did say disaster potential, Charles.
It was as sweet a straight left as you'll see outside the professional ring.
They didn't actually land on target, though, did it? It wasn't actually part of the master plan to put the Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport in hospital.
Well, it was an easy mistake to make. After all, poor old Parsons, for 18 years he aimed at a mass market and missed. He never had much hope with a once-in-a-lifetime wallop in a semi-darkened room, did he?
Wasn't very upset about this, Charles.
Upset? Have you seen the papers?
Author strikes blow for the arts. Ralph Wild Boar Parsons said last night, I took one look at that Philistine asterisk, and the red mist descended, so I gave him a smack. Ralph Parsons said that.
Well, not as such. No, I said it for him. He was outside being sick. He can't stand the sight of blood.
And he's on every front page.
All publicity, all free. Oh, how Gail Shand must be hating this. Sandy, come in, would you?
Good grief. What the blazes is that?
It's my sad sausage sweatshirt. Mr. Prentice said I had to wear it.
And very fetching it is, too. Sandy, get on to London Underground Advertising Department, would you? I want a poster on every tube station. There. What do you think of that?
The sausage is coming, question mark.
Just to whet the public appetite a little.
Is that such a good idea? I mean, they might end up reading the book.
Martin, the book is not my concern. If I am to win our bet, I must market a product. The product is the author. The book is an unfortunate byproduct, like flatulence.
It still does need to find a publisher, though, doesn't it?
After this, publishers will be on their knees begging.
I'd like to help you, Charles.
Good! So I can expect a publishing contract in the morning.
No. You see, I have read Sad Sausage.
Have you? Ah.
And to be honest, that's a piece of morbid, alcoholic, self-indulgent, depressing, miserable dross.
Only epiphenomenally.
Sorry, Charles. I'm afraid the book is not for us. I'll be surprised if any reputable publishing house says anything else.
Who turned down Harry Potter?
Charles... You promised never to tell anybody about that.
Who turned down Harry Potter?
In this business, everybody makes mistakes.
And tries to keep quiet about them? I don't blame you for not wanting the senior partner to find out about it.
Charles, this is the crudest blackmail.
Think of it this way. Some things in life are good, some are bad. But some are so bad, they become beautiful. Sad Sausage is a perfection of atrocity. It is one of those rare, precious moments when complete integrity of purpose meets a total absence of talent.
But, Charles, the book stinks.
Stinks, I grant you, but even a stink can be somehow lovable. Think of the worst country and western song you ever heard. You, my son, are young and strong. Your teeth are all your own. But mine in pain went down a drain, way out in San Antone. That's not good.
No, it isn't.
But somehow, I love it.
And you really think Sad Sausage is a comic masterpiece?
I do.
I must admit, I do like the suicide scene.
Yes, the suicide scene. You see, Martin, promoting a writer as the next big thing is essentially the same as any other marketing exercise. It's a question of surfing the zeitgeist.
Tricky thing, zeitgeist.
Well, look, let's do this logically. This is the age of what? The age of...
New Labour.
No, that's old hat.
The internet.
Been done.
Football?
No, not another football novel. Oh, spare us.
This is the age of the yob culture. Damn it, Charles, the new Rick Dennis novel is called Hooligan. That's your zeitgeist when everybody has to sound like Mark Lamar or Jonathan Ross, the gangster movie, the hero worship of a creep like Vinnie Jones.
Yes, yes, you may be onto something.
Well, of course I'm onto something, Charles. Charles, it's your round.
Now, repeat after me. Mark Lamar.
Mark Lamar.
Jonathan Ross.
Jonathan Ross.
No, 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 look, you've got to stop those glottals. Those glottals have just got to be stopped.
Oh, Mr. Prentice, I don't think I was meant to be an icon of yob culture.
Nonsense, man. All it takes is a bit of practice. Now, repeat after me, my personal favourite. Listen, you're on a hip happening show. You're being asked to name your favourite pop classics.
I don't like pop music.
Yes, yes, you do. You love it. Now, repeat after me. I lost my virginity, right?
I lost my virginity.
To the melodious strains.
To the melodious strains.
No, no. The melodious strains of Hazel O'Connor.
Hazel O'Connor.
Hazel O'Connor. Will you just politely say goodnight?
Will you just politely say goodnight?
Oh, drop the T's, man. Let go of them. Will you just politely say goodnight?
How's it going, Charles?
Oh, frankly, I'd have an easier job converting Hannibal Lecter to a diet of strawberries and feta cheese.
I wonder if a 3-month profit bonus will pay for a world cruise.
I'm not beaten yet, Martin. Will you just politely say goodnight?
Will you just politely say goodnight?
Oh, that does it. The marbles. Open wide.
Look. Why Hazel O'Connor, Charles?
Well, he lost his virginity to its melodious strains.
Did he? Did he really?
Well, no, he didn't really.
Hazel O'Connor.
I lost mine to Matt Munro singing The Italian Job.
Ah, that was a high point in post-war eroticism, wasn't it?
Minnie's Dolly Bird, an ex-London bus driver warbling El Bel Soleil.
Come on, hurry up, Harry, come on, Sham 69.
I beg your pardon?
Come over here if you think you're hard enough.
I think he's got it. I think he's got it.
Again?
Hazel O'Connor, will you just politely say goodnight?
By George, he's got it! By George, he's got it!
And remember, you've got the Rick Dennis photo shoot at 4.
I'm sure this won't take long. Charles, always a pleasure.
Gail, a brief moment of your time.
Yes, it usually was.
A proposition, Gail. Our lad against your lad.
What?
Ralph Parsons, the coming man of English letters in a no-holds-barred television debate against Rick, Mr. Remainder Shop Dennis.
Charles, my lad, as you call him, is Mr. Literary Novel. He is the literary novel. He is the most widely read writer in England.
Darling, nobody actually reads literary novels. That's why they sell so well.
Charles, what you're asking is like Pete Sampras playing some irrelevant exhibition against St. John Marchbank's Moonballs, the plucky British loser. What's in it for us? Ralph, who?
Gail, sorry. Have you seen tonight's Standard? There's a full-page ad.
The sausage has landed.
Only it's bigger than the ad for Rick's book. I thought you'd want to know.
Sad sausage, the literary event of the year.
Shall we say 12 3-minute runs?
No, Charles. On this one, you are going to lose.
Well, of course I've succeeded, Martin. You're looking at the man who masterminded the campaign Guys Who Wear Bow Ties Get More Sex. After a lie like that, this is child's play.
Yeah, but that campaign didn't actually work, did it, Charles?
Well, it was a very big lie. Not even Liz Hurley doing something very unusual to a bow tie was going to save that one. This, by contrast, you've seen this morning's press. There has been nothing like it since Oasis and Blur. Never has the bestseller list been so eagerly awaited. The book world has been hit by the phenomenon that is Ralph Parsons.
How did you do it?
I told the Times it was a philosophical masterpiece, and I told the Sun it was a steamy sex romp.
A steamy sex romp, but it's a suicidal monologue.
Yes, but I think it can be read as a steamy sex romp. Time for our boy's big moment.
Rick Dennis wouldn't go head-to-head with him.
Scared of his straight left, I rather think.
Good evening and welcome to Brought to Book. Ralph Parsons spent his childhood bunking off school in East London to hang round the boxing halls of Bethnal Green.
Ralph Parsons was brought up in Godalming.
He may have been, the product was not.
He first sprang to public attention with a novel written when he was only 13 about a Chinese immigrant in the East End, Ying Tong Bromley by Bow. As he scribbled, drug gangs conducted running battles on the streets below.
In Godalming?
Lured by the evil around him, Ralph threatened to drown his talent in a cocktail of sex, drink, and violence. During his 3 years in Wormwood Scrubs, he became London and South East Prison's weightlifting champion.
Ralph Parsons?
Now he's back, and how he's back. Ladies and gentlemen, Ralph Parsons.
What the hell do you call that hairstyle?
Oh, that's the Roy Keane surprise, in the interest of verisimilitude.
Ralph Parsons, on one level, sad sausage is a metaphor for the penis in a feminized society.
You calling me a poof?
No. No, certainly not. The book is an extremely masculine cry of rage with scarcely suppressed undertones of violence. In a much publicized incident, you recently assaulted a cabinet minister. Why was that exactly?
Because he was a mincing middle-class tosser.
Ralph, would you now read to us the suicide scene from Sad Sausage? Ralph Parsons, ladies and gentlemen.
So this was despair. Despair was like a big black wig that falls forwards over your eyes and you bump into the lamppost of life and step in the dog's mess of despondency. He carried his landlord's coffee table down the street and pawned it to buy some rope. Back in the bedsit he called home, amidst the grime in which the story of his life was written like the graffiti at East Acton Tube Station, he found the hook. It was the hook on which to hang his death.
It's really very, very funny.
Right, I've had enough of this. Have that!
Well, that'll put 100,000 on the book sales.
Assault is a criminal offence, actually, Charles.
Well, it'll give him a chance to practice his weightlifting, won't it? To put Ralph Parsons at the top of the bestsellers, you said. Make the cheque out to my personal account, would you?
Oh, all right, you've won, but it's all a lie, Charles.
The royalty statements won't be.
Goodbye, World Cruise.
I'm afraid they're not here, Mr. Parsons. They're out seeing a new client. Are you all right?
Not really. I can't step outside the door without being mobbed by photographers. Journalists keep asking me if I'm going to get drunk and hit somebody, and I'm being stalked by a Swedish tennis player.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure when they'll be back.
Can't seem to get through to them on the phone.
No, well, they're a bit like that. Finish one thing and on to the next thing, now that Mr. Prentice has won his bet.
Sorry? What bet?
They never told you, did they? I'm afraid you've been used as a bit of a pawn. The thing is, I really like working for Prentice McCabe, but you wouldn't exactly call them nice people. Mr. Parsons, are you feeling well?
The Pawn in the Cocktail. What a great name for a book.
Oh, yeah.
A bottle of the 78.
Thank you, Maurice.
Maurice, monsieur.
Maurice. He made them high and lowly and ordered their estate, the rich man at his castle, the poor man at his gate.
Oui, monsieur.
Get back to the gate, Maurice. Do you know, after a lifetime of not inconspicuous success...
Pour the drinks, Charles.
I'm rather inclined to regard Ralph Wild Boar Parsons as one of my finer creations.
Oh, thank heaven for that. Charles, you're not going to rub it in, are you?
Don't be vulgar, Martin. I'm merely enjoying a moment of high professional satisfaction.
Are you? Oh, dear, and I've completely forgotten my thermos flask, sleeping bag and 12 volumes of Proust.
It has been an object lesson in image management.
The telephone for you, Monsieur Prentice. Sir Richard Branson.
Ah, how they beat a path to our door, Martin. Can Prentice McCabe fit him in? That's the question.
So you've spilled the beans then, Sandy?
I'm very sorry, Mr. McCabe. Will I get sacked?
No, of course not, Sandy. Ralph, what can I say? I behaved very badly.
Well, it's all right. I'm sure you were trying to help a friend in trouble, weren't you?
Well, look, on the bright side, you have made a great deal of money out of it.
Yes, but all I ever wanted was to live by and for my art. I hate all this fame, notoriety, people yelling, "Nice one, Wild Boar," in the street.
And it would be delicious to teach Charles a lesson, but how do we do it? Trouble with fame, Ralph, you can't control it. Anything we do now just adds to the Ralph Parsons legend.
Well, am I allowed to make a suggestion?
Sandy, we welcome suggestions from all levels of the organisation. And let's face it, you are all the levels of the organisation.
Remember when my dad was in Strange Ways? He shared a cell with this bloke who was coming up for parole. And he needed to tell the parole board, well, I think it's what you'd call wheeze.
Martin, I do not like clients calling news conferences unless they are arranged and orchestrated by me.
Oh, I'm sure we can trust Ralph.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ralph Parsons wishes to make a brief statement.
Thank you all for coming. I would like to thank all of you who have bought my book, and especially the people who have written to me and emailed me. I thought it was only fair, because you've all been so kind, that I should explain my decision. Ladies and gentlemen, I've decided to become a monk.
A monk? A sodding monk?
I can no longer live the lie that is Wild Boar Parsons. You see, I despise the yob culture. I want to be gentle, kind. I want to atone for my sins.
Atone for your sins, you bastard!
I will be giving all the royalties from Sad Sausage to the Brotherhood of the Simple Wanderers, with whom I propose to live in quiet obscurity. Thank you.
A monk! That's brilliant!
Your call to Rick Dennis.
Rick, listen. We've got to do something to top this. You've become a Roman Catholic priest. Well, all right, no, not a Roman Catholic priest, too kinky. Yes, you've discovered Islam. No, you're right, too sober. Yeah, wait, you're a missionary in Africa. No, darling, you don't have to go to Africa. This is 2001. You can go to Africa virtually. But darling, think of the press. Think of the book sales.
Charles, painful as it is to mention this, I rather think that our bet is invalid. After all, now he's become a monk, Ralph is going to be living in even greater poverty than when you started. And it is as a direct result of your actions.
Yes, all right, you can have your check back. From now on, this agency sticks to unscrupulous businessmen and twisted lying politicians. If an impecunious novelist wanders through the door, we are closed. Not available. Gone fishing.
There's a message from our contact at Downing Street, actually, Charles. Now, where is it? Would Prentice McKay be interested in a campaign to persuade old people that Tony Blair feels their pain?
Ah, that's more like it. Let's wheeze along with old people.
And I don't think we'll be needing this. The Pawn in the Cocktail, sample chapter of a novel by Ralph Parsons.
Give that to me. Ha. Martin, you didn't have any inkling of today's news conference, did you? Ralph's monastic bombshell?
Let me put it this way, Charles. We can only take so much honesty in any one day, Apprentice McCabe.
You have been listening to Absolute Power by Mark Taverner, starring Stephen Fry and John Bird, with Tamsin Gregg, Tony Gardner, Siobhan Hayes and Philip Fox. The music was by Matthew Scott. The producer was Paul Schlesinger.